start by praying. God, thank you for your presence here. I thank you that you know each of our hearts and lives and know exactly what we need. And so we invite you to come with your Holy Spirit and minister to our hearts. Meet us in the way like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. During Sunday school, teacher asked a class of first graders if anyone could describe what a Christian is. It's a good question. Little boy raised his hand right away. He said, "Christians are nice people who never complain, argue, or talk back." And then he added, "My daddy's a good Christian, but my mama isn't." I wish our faith would have this kind of clarity. But the reality is that it's all very messy. And we're very messy human beings. And God loves us just as we are. Let's pray again. Jesus, we recognize that we're broken creatures that have hurt you and we've hurt each other. Our hope is found in your goodness of salvation and unconditional love for us. We want to give you more and more of ourselves. Heal us, forgive us, and give us the courage to become all that you've created us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Galatians chapter 5. We've been going through this New Testament book. The text will be here. I'll read it to you. Galatians 5, 13 to 26. "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these. I'm warning you, as I've warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another." Have you ever seen situations where they're siblings from the same family, but they turn out very differently? The one person seemed to fall into every hole in the road imaginable. Their sibling turned out completely different. Why or how does this happen? I know children who have grown up in a home of deep faith where their parents love God and equally love their children, but these kids abandoned their faith in Jesus. I know of other children who have come out of what some would call dysfunctional homes, where there was conflict, chaos, and sometimes substance abuse. Yet amidst all these challenges, the children find faith in Jesus and it changes the trajectory of their whole lives. Is there some kind of magical formula? How does this work? In the book of Galatians, there are many Gentiles, a Gentile being anyone who is not of Jewish descent, who have encountered the risen Christ. They're more than willing to trade in their old trinkets for the treasures found in the kingdom of God. But there are also Jewish Christians, some who are coined Judaizers, who would say, "Not so fast, Gentiles. It's not that easy. Besides believing in Jesus, there are a whole bunch of rules you need to abide by. You need to be circumcised, follow the law and the commandments, observe certain religious festivals and holy days to get into the Jesus Club. The Apostle Paul planted or started many of these churches in the region of Galatia in his first missionary journey. This is how places like Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe first heard the good news of Jesus' salvation for all. Why does it seem like life is so messy and complicated at times? I guess we should not be surprised that it was messy for these new believers. It was messy for the Apostle Paul, and it's probably going to be messy for us too. The Apostle Paul wants to make it very clear for his listeners that it's Jesus and only in Jesus that we're made right before God through grace. It's not by earning our way to God through works or deeds. We have an incredible freedom on the inside of us that no circumstance or difficulty can steal. Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence or to satisfy your sinful nature, but through love become enslaved to one another." Does anyone here know that it's easy to be selfish, to want things to go our own way, to manipulate things for our own benefit? Paul's saying this isn't the reason that Jesus paid for your freedom on the cross. There's no win in selfish living like this. Rather, we were handed our freedom so we could serve one another in love. Do you stay up at night dreaming about how you can love and serve others? Galatians 5:14, "For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Have you ever tried preferring someone else over yourself? You wanted a nice jacket, but you bought a jacket for a friend and kept the old one instead. Instead of going to a restaurant, you bought a gift card so someone else could go. Could you imagine a world where we would think of others' needs before taking care of all of our own wants? Notice I did not say needs, I said wants. Galatians 5:15, the apostle gives a contrasting picture to loving our neighbor. "If, however, you bite and devour each other, take care that you're not consumed by one another." When we're always trying to get one up on the other person, we can end up destroying each other. On my cousin's farm, he has a horse and two donkeys in the same pen. He takes them 2 5-gallon pails of water to drink from. Although there are 2 pails and water for all, the horse will not let the donkeys drink from either pail until it's done. He will bite them if they come near. Even after drinking itself full, it sometimes just leisurely stands over the pails and the donkeys must wait. I can imagine the donkeys are thinking, "That horse is such an ass." Galatians 5:17, "For what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want." Life is full of choices. Good choices, bad choices. Often when we make one choice, it prevents other choices. When Carrie agreed to marry me, that meant I would not marry someone else. When I only have $50 to buy groceries, do I buy it on fruits and vegetables, or do I use the whole loot on chocolate because it was on sale? There's an internal war going on within us. Have you ever noticed that? There can be an inclination to do things through an instant of impulse that has enormous ramifications on our future. So how do we win this battle? Galatians 5:18, "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law." There is no power in the law. It condemns every move we make. But when the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, he empowers us to do things we cannot humanly do on our own. Okay, here we go. This is what it looks like when we try to do it under our own steam and strength. Galatians 5:19. "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, such as lustful pleasure, idolatry, making gods out of anything other than Jesus, sorcery, looking for power outside of Jesus. In the spiritual world, there are only two places or sources of power. It's either through Jesus or the power of darkness. There's no third option. So in the spiritual world, we need to discern who is the author or the source of the supernatural. It's either God or the devil. Enmities or hostilities or hatred, strife, allowing yourself to be full of conflict, or a person who creates conflict, jealousy, wanting what others have, anger, explosive outbursts of fits or rage, quarrel. Some people are just living for that next fight. Dissensions, factions bring division. It's always easier to tear down than it is to build up. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. Okay, it wouldn't take much for any of us to find ourselves on this list at some point in our lives. Paul underlines the danger of embracing such behavior as part of our normal lives when he says at the end of Galatians 5:21, I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scott McKnight says it kind of breaks down in four categories. First, sexual sins. Second, religious sins. Third, social sins. And fourth, drinking sins. Everything in our life needs balance. Every good thing taken to the extreme can end up harming us or controlling us. The long list in the text is the third list, the longest list, is the third list of social sins, like hatred, jealousy, rage, selfishness, ambition, and division. These are the very things that Paul is dealing with in the churches of Galatia. Then in Galatians 5:22, the apostle shares a contrasting list for those who want to live and be directed by God's Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What's amazing about the second list is you can never get too much of any of it that's mentioned here. Have you ever heard of anyone being too loving, too patient, too faithful, too much self-control? Of course not. We cannot will our way or work our way into being more peaceful or kind or generous. These are gifts from God. I can remember teaching Alpha. By the way, if you've never gone through an Alpha course, it's the best thing ever. We're going to teach a course in the fall if you're interested in that. Partway through this Alpha course, some impactful things began happening to one man. He started coming to church, and he said in the service he felt enormous emotions, joy, peace, love, like nothing he'd ever experienced in his life. He wondered if he was going crazy. I said to him, this is just God's Holy Spirit working in you. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. I think this is an ongoing process. Sometimes we go two steps forward and one step back. But the key is we keep getting up and moving forward. Some of the vices leave us instantly, while other ones seem to be a day-to-day battle to gain victory. There's a big difference between habitual pattern that we're choosing to live with compared to someone who's trying to show gossip, drunkenness, or impure thoughts out the door. We're in a fight, but we're not alone. Jesus is with us. Keep fighting. We keep nailing these sins to the cross, and they try to squirm back down again. Galatians 5:24, we live by the Spirit. Let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is a complete intentional action on our part. Daily, we can invite and welcome the Holy Spirit to walk with us in our day, to guide us to the path of life. Galatians 5:26, let us not become conceited, competing against one another or envying one another. When we're acting conceited, or need to prove that we are better than the next person, or envying others, it speaks of our brokenness inside, not of the other person. I'm going to say that again. When we are acting conceited or need to prove that we're better than the next person or envying others, it speaks of the brokenness inside of us, not in the other person. We are trying to have significance by holding on to position, possession, to affirm our value instead of letting God affirm that we're his beloved daughters, that we're his beloved sons, in whom he's well pleased. Herb Cain wrote this. He said, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion or it'll be killed. Every morning, a lion wakes up. It knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle or it to starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better be running. This is a reminder that when we wake up each morning, we need to be ready to run with God in the spiritual world. So I bet some of you are waiting for me to get to the conclusion. Here we are. To give you some kind of formula where it all works out for you and your children. I have to disappoint you. There isn't one. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way it should go. And even when they grow older, they will not abandon it. This is a proverb. It's not a promise. The odds are that if you train up your kids, or for some of you, train your parents, to put God first in every part of their lives, the odds are they will follow him until their last breath from this life to eternity. One of the things that we have said that's important to us as a church is investing in our babies, in our children, and in our youth. They call it the 4:14 window. If children are connected to Sunday school, 70% of them will carry their faith in Jesus all of their lives. So let's talk a little bit about our vices and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, imparting the gifts of the Spirit. When we fill ourselves up with vices, there's little room for the Spirit. And as we surrender our sinful practices, there's more and more room for God's free gift of love, generosity, and self-control. Remember, there's a war going on in the interior of our souls. You have heard me talk about accidentally killing the pig with a hammer in the barn because I had uncontrolled anger in my life. The Spirit of God spoke to me that day and said, Lewis, you will kill somebody one day, even though you won't mean to, just like you killed the pig because of anger. I was cut to the quick. I knew immediately I needed drastic changes in my life. It didn't matter that my dad displayed uncontrolled anger in his life. I could not go on this way anymore. I surrendered myself to God and he changed my heart. I give my anger away and God fills me with more self-control. A very good friend of mine told me this story in the last couple years. He's a pastor at a church, and at the end of the service, only one person was left in the church and he was behaving very strangely. The person took on what was a voice not of their own, possibly demonic. He said that he had control over the person because of pornography. And when they asked the man if he wanted prayer so he could break free from what it was binding him, he said, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. There are certain things we don't have control over, like who our parents are. You notice that? You didn't get to choose who your parents were? What country you were born in? The color of your skin, our gender. If we grew up in a messed up family, none of us has a say in these things. But what we do have a say in is, am I willing to give up the sins that are keeping me bound and enslaved? You and I can choose to tell them to hit the road through the power of Jesus Christ. The more junk we get out of our lives, the more room there is for the peace and presence of Jesus in us. In Matthew 12:22-28, Jesus sets a person free who's being troubled by demons, and the religious leaders accuse Jesus of getting his power from Satan. Jesus responds by saying, a house divided against itself will fall. In other words, Jesus setting people free was working against the devil's schemes. We don't want our lives to be divided by allowing the devil access into our lives because of habitual sins. We have a say in this by our choices and actions. We want our daily practice to be fully surrendered to Jesus every day of our lives. And if there's anything that is blocking our relationship with God or each other, that we invite the Holy Spirit in to reveal to us so we can make these things right. We want to start closing doors in our lives that have been giving the enemy access. By living by the fruit of the Spirit, we do actual spiritual warfare. Where there's greed, we are generous. Where there's pride, we choose humility. Where there's selfishness, we show restraint and self-control. Let's pray. God, we know that things work out best for us when we rely on you completely in every area of our lives. We invite your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh this morning. As we give our sins, fill us more and more with yourself. Pour the fruit of the Spirit over us and let it produce lasting fruit in our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My kids tell me I'm getting older all the time. And one thing that I have learned is that you can't do all that by yourself. You may be able to do a little bit for a while, but it's not going to last. We really need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord to really be invited into our battles, into our hearts, into our lives, into our mess. And this next song kind of, I guess, pulls that all together.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Deep, your grace is more. Where grace is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. 'cause you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
Announcements, benediction. We're going to sing one more song and you'll be dismissed. Three announcements. Youth this week, they're off for the summer, except for this week, 6:30 here at the church. As well, I'll be doing a membership meeting Tuesday at 10 a.m. for anybody who's interested. And third, on July 30th, remember, a variety of people are going to get baptized and you'll want to be part of that service. You know what? As we move closer to God, one of the automatic things that happens is we become softer. We become softer to our spouse. We become softer to our friends. We become softer in the grocery line that's taking too long or in traffic. As you go onto the sign of the cross, try and do everything you can to press as close to Jesus as possible. Amen.
Let's stand as we close our service together.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth in holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King. you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Have a great week in the Lord this week.